When you look back at the first wave of UK commercial radio, only around half the brand names still exist to this day. And one of those is 45 years old this week.
The time is 6 o'clock, and to officially open the station, here is the managing director, Mr. Bruce Lewis.
Oh dear, yes, back then you could play tape or indeed vinyl at the wrong speed, and at some stage in our careers we probably did, but not usually within the first 5 minutes of the station going on air. Now, from the board, the opening announcement.
On behalf of our chairman, Sir John Hunter, and all our team at Metro Radio, I would like to say that we are going to make it our job to bring you the best possible radio, providing music, entertainment, news, sport, comedy, and drama.
Drama? What was that all about?
We've got a couple of northeast serials, which I think people are going to enjoy. One which is called City, which is about a football team, believe it or not. And the other one is one called Slaty Drift, which is about a mining town and some of the goings-on in this town. And some of the goings-on are quite hilarious, actually.
And there was news, of course, too, if there was time after this understated news jingle.
The time is 5 minutes past six, and that's news time.
Metro News at 6:05 with Simon Neave.
Goodness, after all that, almost time to close down again.
You have been listening to Metropolitan Broadcasting, the IBA station serving the Northeast. Please join us again in the morning at 6:08. From all the staff here at Metro, we wish you a peaceful night. And please don't forget to switch off your sets.
Good night.
Good night.
Back to news jingles, and this week, 7 years ago, Chris Evans got a new one, part of the first major refresh for Radio 2's identity for 15 years.
Are you ready? Whoa! This is Radio 2.
BBC News at 7 o'clock on Monday the 16th of July. Good morning, this is Moira Stewart.
That news jingle sounds so strange now, doesn't it? The beginning of the last year on air for that Radio 2 ID melody this week, 7 years ago. 1967 now, and the last time Tony Blackburn broadcast from a ship before cruising home to the BBC.
Come on, girls, time to get out of bed and hitch the old miniskirt. Better? Ah, I can see you through your transistor radio, you see. I want to ask you something. Are you leaving school or college this summer? I know a lot of you have already left school, actually, because a lot of schools broke up yesterday. Well, have you decided what you're going to do? And are you really happy with your decision? So many people aren't, you know. And if not, ring 405-0940. Now, I'll give you that number a little bit later on. Now, this is
that's how to do live reads, isn't it? A bit of personality in there, a bit of natural presentation. They should flog a few of those on Radio 2, shouldn't they? Soon cover the licence fee for the over 75s. Tony Blackburn's last show on Big L, Radio London, July 15th, 1967.
You're listening to the sound of free radio, the wonderful sound of wonderful Radio London, the nation's number one. The time is 9 o'clock, so let's weather check.
Wonderful stuff. Now, Tony liked his name checks, which lasted him through his career.
The Tony Blackburn Show.
And it was this week in 1940 that newsreaders began to say who they were. The first announcer to do that was Frank Phillips.
And a very good thing, too, I maintain. It was caused because it was thought that if Hitler's invasion scheme did come off, that they would have people mimicking announcers or newsreaders, and to identify a name with a voice is very much more difficult to falsify.
On the Russian front, German pressure is still heaviest in the Leningrad area. Certain kinds of cooked bacon will soon be available without coupons. Men between 18 and 60 will have to...
Frank Phillips, the first newsreader to identify himself by name this week, 79 years ago. And just listening to that BBC news bulletin prompted me to search out how news was being read in that era on American radio. Have a listen to this.
Winston Churchill,
who has held more political offices than any living man, is now Prime Minister. He is a man without a party. For the last 7 years, he has sat in the House of Commons, a rather lonesome and often bellicose figure. Now, at the age of 65, Winston Churchill, plump, bald, with massive round shoulders, is for the first time in his varied career of journalist, historian, and politician, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Mr. Churchill's critics have said that he is inclined to be impulsive and at times vindictive. But in the tradition of British politics, he will be given his chance. He will probably take chances. But if he brings victory, his place in history is assured. The historians will have to devote more than a footnote to this remarkable man, no matter what happens.
That's the sort of thing Chris Mason would have been doing in 1940 on Warcast. Brilliant writing and prophetic commentary too. Talking of prescient remarks, I have here the note typed in 1967 by the BBC executives J.E. Grant and Jack Dabbs about the audition tape sent in by Mr. K. Everett. And the report reads as follows.
A competent and experienced pop DJ would need very firm production.
They've even underlined very. Can't quite remember how he did underlining on the typewriter. But there we go.
Production. To curb his non-stop funny voices, which he changes every few seconds, with the right encouragement, he could be an asset to the corporation.
Kenny Everett was sacked this week in 1970.
Finally, Mrs. Mary Payton, wife of the Transport Minister, has passed her advanced driver's test first time. She's been driving more than 30 years, but says she was spurred on to take the test by her husband's appointment. That's the news from the third floor, incidentally. Our next one, 11:30.
She only passed because she crammed a fiver in his hand. I know these people.
And there was nothing happening in the world. Nothing. Nobody got shot. Nothing. So I got the front pages of everything.
BBC. BBC.
Sacks little Kenny. Ah.
Kenny Everett fired following, but not altogether, because of that gag after the news. Pembrokeshire got its own commercial station 17 years ago this week.
Whether you're starting the day on your farm in Mathry, driving into Texaco, catching the bus home from Pembrokeshire College, or taking in the breathtaking scenery of Barra Fundle, we'll be here for you with great music, county news, and the voices of people you may know.
The beautiful Radio Pembrokeshire, beginning this week in 2002. 3 years later, it had an audience share of over 40%, the highest in the UK, and that was a reach of 59%. Average hours, 15.9. They should give Kerry Jones the keys to a BBC local radio station and say, Kerry, do it your way. Let's see how you get on. So with Radio Air splitting frequencies into Air FM and the first Magic 29 years ago with the voice of John Myers.
It's 8:28 across West Yorkshire, and it's here. The all-time great music station, Magic 828.
Beacon launching in Shropshire 32 years ago.
And time to catch up on the latest farming report here at Beacon, Shropshire.
And the death of Douglas Stewart, the first presenter of The World Tonight on Radio 4 6 years ago.
Asking three questions rolled into one, and that enables the man to pick whichever of the three questions he wants to answer.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.